And we'll count it off with a 5, 4, 3, 2. You are listening to Flowing with Famous, your all Fresno podcast, where we talk about Fresno pop culture, politics, other stuff. This is Famous Whitewater with you always, with me always. I am with you, the listener, but also with me here in the studio is Mike C. of the Dorktown Network of Podcasts, and that includes The Perfect Pour and Dorktown.
Yeah, that's me.
And we're here, we're going to talk about
the ghost
Fresno.
The studio.
I know, it was crazy. We're going to talk about all things of Fresno. There is a lot going on. We missed, as always.
Yeah.
We're a...
it's best to just subscribe to us.
Yeah, right. And we'll let you know.
And then just check periodically.
Don't call us. We'll call you.
We're bi-weekly, but once in a while we go 3 weeks.
Right.
And usually it's a Monday morning.
Yeah.
The podcast is out. So just check Sunday night, Monday.
And see. We're getting good reviews.
Ah, I heard about a nice Facebook.
Hey, good review. Yeah, we got a good Facebook review from one of the guys in Planets Live in Houses. They were listening because they were a band of the episode and found out they enjoyed the show.
Yeah, they're like, oh, podcast. So, there's things that are okay in the podcast land.
The final little conclusion was not all podcasts suck.
Yay,
so there you go.
Us.
Yeah,
That's always been my secret fantasy is not the right word, but when I'm blogging on the Fresno, when I would mention a band, and I usually didn't tell them I've mentioned it. I'm just like, I hope they see this,
right?
without telling them.
Right.
And finally, somebody
did. Yeah,
did saw Yay. It without having to tell them.
Yeah, that's so nice when that happens. So let's dive into. We'll start with the news part of
news.
Fresno.
Something, we're behind on.
Yeah,
Fulton
Mall. They had the big vote on the Fulton Mall, which we had talked about many times. And the vote came down to this: would the city council vote to approve the environmental impact report that would pave the way for the Fulton Mall to be open to traffic? That's what it came down to. And it was, I think, and maybe I was wrong, but I felt like it was sort of up in the air. Now, a lot of people would say it was a foregone conclusion and that there was going to be traffic on this was a yes vote all the way.
Yeah.
I was not so sure. But in the end, the council voted to approve the EIR, and it looks like we're gonna move forward with a road.
Yeah,
to Fulton Mall.
It did seem like it was a foregone conclusion, but the factor was the BRT.
Right.
So much voted down.
Right.
There was a kind of air of because we don't want to. This it's tax money. We don't want to take it. That was some of the excuses of voting it down. Something like, well, if they voted that down, why not vote money for the Fulton Mall? But apparently that was separate for
yeah,
far
that
as
was
they
were a separate a separate deal. So now the way it's being cleared so that we can start that process, and eventually we would have Fulton Mall would become a road again, which it was until the early 1960s, when the mall went in. So, I think this is a great... I was torn. We were both torn, I think.
Yeah, we've always...
Through the years.
We've gone back and forth. We've leaned more towards keeping the mall.
Right.
But, we're easily swayed.
Easily swayed. I think up until the day, like that day, and even the day of the vote, I wavered a little bit. Mm-hmm. So Kyle Schmidt put a post up on his RCOP blog the day of the vote, and he really spelled out for the first time that I had seen anyway, like a way that we could keep the mall as it
as it was, mm-hmm. you know, and kind of fix it up and still make it successful. So yeah. the things that the pro traffic people were looking for and the things that the pro mall people were looking for. And he really spelled it out, and I thought he did a really good job on that post. And it was the first time that I really saw anyone on the pro mall side, the Save the Fulton Mall side, who was able to articulate to me, like, this is how we make it work.
Right. It was because a really great post. Look it right. up on ArcHop.
Yeah, ArcHop.org, I think. ArcHop.org. And read it. I mean, it really is. And here's the other thing about it. Regardless, the things that he talks about in the post, that's what we need to do. Even road, no road, whatever. That's what needs right. to happen on
right.
on the mall or Fulton Street, whatever it mm-hmm. is. So I really think that, like, that's where we need to be looking, you know, and as people, downtown supporters, we need to really, like, hold people accountable to make sure that happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
And hopefully it does. The drawing he had in there, or I don't know if it's drawing or yeah, the yeah, Photoshop rendering, thing, yeah, yeah. rendering he had in there was really cool. It had the two apartment buildings
yeah, yeah.
right there at the beginning of the mall yeah. and the north end of it. It looked just made it look totally cool, and like just seeing that,
yeah,
I didn't even have to read the post
right.
before you read it. I was like, oh,
yeah,
that would be freaking awesome. That looks awesome,
and it could happen. I appreciated that because I felt like a lot of the people who were trying like to save the mall people that they're not really looking at what is best for the city, what is best for downtown. They want to see the mall saved, but they want to see it saved like they want it to be a museum of some sort.
Right.
You know, like, oh, let's save the mall. But it's like, yeah, that's good in theory. And while that's, I guess, cool, if that's what you're going for, and if, you know, that's your passion, thank you for doing that. But we need to look at what's good for the area, what's right. good for the mall, right? I mean, the buildings in the mall are underused, and they mm-hmm. are underused for a reason. And we need to look at what's best for the city, and that yeah, part of the city that, is, you know.
That's what it comes down to, is what's best for the city to me, because there is that gentrification issue that was brought up, which I'm kind of behind a little bit, where yeah. – Cause I don't know what the lease, you know, empty lease rate is right. there on the Fulton Mall, but there's lots of businesses on
there
the Fulton Mall.
Businesses
there's lots
that,
of people
yeah.
that are down there, and it's largely Hispanic, right. which North Oshawa people right. aren't right. gonna are basically in their heads feel like, well, then that's a failure because I have right, no right, business right. being down there. So, right, like,
right. and that's the thing that so always
there is an argument to be right. said. Well, you know, the Hispanic community right. embraces a Fulton Mall. Right. Why do you have to clear everyone out?
In a way, I think I agree with that. You know, when people are like, the Fulton Mall didn't work. Well, no, that's not true. In one way, I mean, it is working. It does serve a certain population. Counter to that, the people who are counter to that would say the lease rates are lower on the Fulton Mall than in other parts of this similar parts of the town,
mm-hmm.
And I think they have the statistics to back that up. But there is a gentrification issue. But I think all of those things can be mitigated by, you know, people like us or others like paying attention enough as this is going along and going, hey, wait a second, you know, all of these businesses that were mm-hmm. there are suddenly getting kicked out.
It doesn't need to be, you know, California Pizza Kitchen right, on one right, corner right. and Starbucks
and here's,
down the
right,
street.
And here's the truth. I don't think that's going to happen because I don't think it can happen because mm-hmm. I don't think that California Pizza Kitchen or Starbucks maybe, but other places, I don't think they want to – they don't want that kind of – like, they don't want to go into an old building.
Right.
You know, they like River Park because they can build California
the
pizza
it.
Kitchen
yeah.
that looks like every other one in the thing. So if we're looking – if people are looking to get another River Park, it's not going to happen mm-hmm. because downtown is not River Park, you know? We're not going to get rid of the Security Bank building so we can put up a freaking P.F. Chang.
Right, yeah.
You know? But if P.F. Chang wants to go into, you know, building. The Helm building, I mean, that would be cool. And, you know, you see that in other towns. I think, is it Emeryville? That has that. There's a little
East
strip.
Bay?
There's a little strip there, and they have a bunch of. And one of the things.
Oh, the one
is,
where with the. Yeah,
there's like
just
CB2
off the freeway
and IKEA is kind of right there. And there is a PF Chang's that's in one of. And above the PF Chang's is like lofts, like housing.
Okay.
And it's so weird because I'm like, man, wouldn't it be awesome to live above a PF Chang's?
River Park should get housing.
Anyway. But I think that, you know. Fulton Mall and that part of Fresno has something that no other part of Fresno has, and it's these buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to leverage that in a way.
Got to use that. I think it'll be more. I mean, the vision, I guess, probably in most people's mind is it'll be more like Tower District, not
right,
not River Park.
Except for it'll be so much cooler than Tower District because you know what? The buildings are so much. I mean. You know, like, think about having
right.
a place like, you know, I can't even really think, but a Cuvée or someplace, like a nicer nightclubbish or restaurant on top of Luftenberg's Bridal. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a rooftop restaurant. Or think about having, you know, Irene's, like, on the bottom floor of the Helm building or, you know, something like that. And, I mean, I said you begin to see, like, how cool this could be.
I mean, this is... really putting a cart ahead of the horse. This is something we can talk about in 2 years
all
on
right.
the podcast. But do you worry about the Tower District at all? If the Fulton
I don't
Street
care about
takes off,
right.
like people wanted to, some people anticipate it could, if there's a street running through it, can we support Tower District and Fulton
so,
Street Mall?
I think...
Street Mall?
We should be able to, right? We have 500,000 people living in
yeah.
this area,
a million
right?
people in the Fresno County area.
So we should be able to. If you could go to a place like Portland who has many like of these districts,
right.
like these small, and they can support all of them. If we can't, then there's something wrong with our city. Like
yeah.
really wrong, more wrong than any of us really are thinking right now. I mean, yes, we should be able to support multiple places like that.
If we can support
El Paseo, you know? I mean, seriously. But I
yep.
mean, right? If we can support that place opening, then yes, we can support two.
Let's go to Target, Josh.
I love
it's
Target.
Open.
Oh, I know it's open. And so is whatever the hell else they have. Yeah. What do they have? Old Navy? What do they
Old
got
Old Navy,
there?
Marshalls.
Old Navy. Who shops at Old Navy?
Yeah. I hate Old Navy.
Yeah. I mean, really, it's like they got all the terrible parts of River Park.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. And there's already one of the I think it's Famous Footwear.
Uh-huh.
I predicted that there's West Shaw is going to be the one that's hurt by El Paseo.
Yeah.
And one of those businesses, I believe it was Famous Footwear, but one of them is closed their West Shaw location to open up in El Paseo.
Right, right.
And I worry about West Shaw because it's kind of
it could go either
way cuz there's lots going on.
Right.
There's lots there, but it's not real attractive
mm-hmm.
once you get past Marks.
Right, right.
The further you go away from Marks, the less attractive it
right.
becomes. And it's just like
once you get down there by Costco,
it gets real strip mall-y and like it's just kind of could go either way where
right.
it could just like die off.
Right.
But I
gotta have my Target that's 3 miles
closer
to my house.
The only positive,
I guess, sort of positive,
and this. Opens up another debate for another episode, but is there's never been something that's easy like to jump off the 99
right.
and like people
that you like
to do when you're traveling on a freeway.
Sure.
And just like, oh, look, there's a Target, there's
right.
a McDonald's,
right.
let's just pull off here,
right.
we'll stop.
Right.
They're really, Fresno really has not had that along 99.
Right. No, that's
outside
true.
Of just fast food.
Right.
There's nothing.
Jensen or whatever.
I mean, yeah, there's Rolling Park, but people don't that right. don't know Fresno don't know to pull off the Rolling Park.
And if they do, they're going to be
yeah,
sad.
Yeah, they're going to be sad. And they may not even know to pull off the Underground Gardens.
Right, yeah.
So there are things, but not like, it's just. It goes through some of the worst parts of Fresno, 99. So there is like this, like at least there is this sort of clean, safe-ish yeah. looking spot to stop off for
yeah,
people.
Travel. Yeah, no, I think now, that's but, a good point.
There's another issue I have with 99 corridor that needs to be addressed. That's never been addressed.
Yeah,
that's so we'll save that for another podcast.
And I think that you know if you look at it like that again is another big. Benefit to downtown, you know, like you can see downtown buildings from the 99. Right.
That's if okay. Now, if okay. you're gonna open up the mall,
right.
there needs to be signage, a lot of signage on 99 that this is where you turn off. You want to check out downtown Fresno.
Go
turn off this exit, whatever Fresno Tulare exit. Whatever exit it is off 99. Freaking no,
it's
R Street or some crap. I just know it by feel. Right. I don't even
Fresno.
Know.
So have you been on the 41 and seen this giant barbecue sign for the whatever
yeah,
it
for
is?
The
have you seen
this? Westwood
Barbecue. That's the Dave Fansler restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That's what we need.
Yeah.
If you had something like
that's
that
smart.
That you could
like,
see
I
off the 99, that would be... You would get people to come
and
in.
As
they
much
would find
as,
it, however they need it.
As much as our love, hate, were I don't know about love, but just sort of acceptance of River Park. And that is a nice, like, if I'm going up
yes.
Yosemite and I don't know anything about Fresno.
And I see a giant
I'm
barbecue
stop
sign.
There.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm going to and I see River Park. I'm like, all right, that looks like a good place to stop.
Right.
And I'm sure, I know there's been a... There's famous stories of celebrities stopping at River Park,
sure.
too. And
right.
So, I mean, it's on their way up to Yosemite, so. Right.
Hopefully we can get that for downtown.
Yeah. That's okay. That's the thing. The trick is having people, tourists,
right.
either going through North 99 or going through on 41 up to Yosemite, stopping in downtown.
Right. And I think it's definitely possible. I mean, I think the real estate is there. We just have to use it. And I want to say that my hope is there's a contingent of people that want to see the mall saved, and they're threatening to sue to get it through. And they actually have started not a Kickstarter campaign, but a crowdfunding campaign to raise the money so that they could do this. And while I really do appreciate what they're trying to do, like, I mean, I understand that they're passionate about this, so they got to see it through to the very end. I would hope that they could see how this could actually be good for the area.
Right.
And it could be good for all of the things that they're worried about, right? This could be a good thing for the art, you know? This could be a good thing to finally get that Renoir placed in a spot that is going to get traffic by it all the time, that is going to get people walking by it all the time. This could be a good thing for those businesses that, you know, right now don't get the kind of foot. So I would hope that they could get past their own, like, ego or whatever at, like, hey, we lost this battle. And try to find a way to work with what's happening instead of blocking it, because my fear is that if someone steps up and blocks it, you know, sues or does whatever, it gets caught in the system.
Yeah. It's just
the mayor is no
she's
longer.
She's going to be gone.
No longer.
We'll get to that in a second.
No longer around. And the next mayor doesn't give a crap about downtown, and suddenly it all dies, and then we're right back where we are. And then I would ask these people, well, what did you gain from that?
Yeah.
Right? We didn't gain.
Now we're back to where the foot mall is being not taken care of.
Right.
And we have no money to do anything but just leave it the way it is now.
I'm
more pro keeping the mall than putting a street through it. I think almost everybody accepts that something needs to be done.
Right, yeah.
You need to, it right. at least needs to be cleaned up and reimagined to some degree. Just the way it is, just leaving it the way it is now is not right. good. No. I do not support that.
Right.
And I don't really think any Save the Full Mall people right. even
and,
support
and,
that.
And but. I do think that like this influx of money, yes, but more than that, like this influx of attention, like, you know, mm-hmm. that tender, loving care or whatever, I think can really turn things around. You know, you can get people in these buildings who are excited about being there, who really want to have businesses there. And that's already happening, right? I mean, that's already happening with mm-hmm. places like Peeves, but also all of these other
–
there's
shop.
A new coffee shop, several new places that have opened on the mall. And I think once you start seeing that synergy and you start seeing people who are like excited about – being on the mall, that's when you're going to really start seeing change. And that could be killed quickly if you get a bunch of people in who are like, we're going to sue, we're going to stop this and blah, 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 and just have this like negative, 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 negative attitude. And I understand where they're coming from. Like I feel for them.
Yeah.
I just hope that they can maybe see past some of these things, you know? I understand it though. I mean, I think that if the other side, if the vote had gone the other way, probably there would be a bunch of people. You know, I'm almost certain the city would do everything in their power to make sure that the road happened. So,
yeah.
All right, let's talk about that. Was enough mall talk.
Now, somebody that is the biggest proponent of putting a street in the Fulton Mall may not be around see it happen.
We're, of course, talking about Ashley Swearingen.
Mm-hmm.
Trashley, as she's been called.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
This is by the outsiders.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as she says, I'm running for controller.
Right.
Do you know what controller does?
I know. The money.
The state controller
is like, yeah. So all the money that comes into the state's coffers and then is distributed to the different counties, cities, et cetera, mm-hmm. Via state income tax, et cetera. That's their job, I think.
Right. All right. So Ashley's running for state controller.
She is running for controller.
And so the primaries are this year for it?
I guess something. So.
But then it doesn't happen until 2018 or 2017, 2016.
I see. You know more than
I think
me.
It's 2016.
Okay.
I think would be when she would go into office. Yeah. But I'm not.
So 100%. She announced this week and I mean, right, like the minute she announced, it was like there were people that came out and they were vicious. I mean, I read a couple of posts that were just like attacks that I really couldn't, I didn't understand. Like, there are lots of things that I think you can say about the mayor
mm-hmm.
and her handling of different issues. But the some of the posts that I read were just like beyond that. I mean, they were just very like you could tell that there was something. It was like they personally did not like her for some reason, and they were going after her. You know, I don't necessarily.
And these are just Sacramento people, or
you know, I can't remember the guy, the exact post that I read. But yeah, I mean, they were. I think they were political sorts, mm-hmm. you know, and they were essentially like the main argument, I think. For most people, was like, well, Fresno, it was and is on the brink of bankruptcy. So, and she is in charge. So, how can you trust someone? You know,
but they don't know that she inherited a bunch of shit, and then
I think they do.
They don't care.
That's the feeling I get. Is like they understand that, you know. And I actually talked to someone, and that was his point. He was like, you know. Yeah, she inherited, but, you know, 5 years since she's been in office, and what's the, you know, where are we? And, I mean,
But aren't most cities that way?
I mean, I guess that's a fair assessment, but I just don't understand, like, can you tell me what she could have done differently that would have gotten us in a different place? And I'm not sure, I haven't seen that, you know. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen anyone say, well, she should have done this, or she should have done this, or she should. They just go, well, the city is on the brink of bankruptcy, and she's in charge, so therefore, mm-hmm. it's like, well,
it's not that kind of
right,
dry.
You know? And I mean, I think I was not exactly happy with how they handled the trash outsourcing issue.
Yeah.
You know, I think there are, like, legitimate claims to be made, but I mean, I don't know. I think she's probably qualified for the job, you know. Fresno B doesn't think that she's going to win.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's some other candidate that they think is, you know. But they're, you know, they support her, like, at least throwing her hat in the ring if that's what she wants to do. So, but it'll be interesting to see, because, you know, what this does is the council president moves into the mayor spot.
Oh,
you know, so, and I think it's Lee Brand.
Brando. I know. That confused me during the full, when I watched it on CMAC, a full mall. It seemed like everybody had all the councilmen had a councilman president on their plaque. I'm like
you can't all be president. I don't know exactly who it is, but whoever's the president would then, you know, step up to be the mayor until the next.
Well, this is not Brandon.
Right. There could be some sort of situation where, you know, someone would take over and et cetera. So, I don't know. I think it puts Fresno on a larger scale. I mean, finally, you know, if you have your mayor's running for a state office, so I think that's good, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gets the name. I mean, Fresno is a place that has viable candidates.
Do you think she could ever run for governor? You think,
I don't know,
the LA Bay Area market could ever vote for a Fresnan as
she's
governor?
She's a Republican. But here's the thing. I mean,
she's a Republican light.
That's what I think. I mean, I don't know. And here's the thing. In city politics, I don't think that plays as much.
Although we did see it.
Well, yeah,
we see it on the BRT vote.
But and she was for BRT on that.
Yeah,
you know,
well, there
so,
you go.
I mean, I don't think it plays as much. So I don't know where she stands on social issues. I don't know where she necessarily stands on tax. But I know that she has good ideas, or at least I think has good ideas about how to move Fresno forward. And I've seen her, I just saw her speak this weekend, actually, at the United Way gala. They had their 90th anniversary gala, whatever. And she spoke, and it was really like, she spoke for a long time, like way longer than her allotted time. Like she went over. But it was like really moving. Everyone there, like, I think they had the same reaction, which was like, oh my God, this is really good. And also, you can stop anytime. You know? She was going on, but it was really, I mean, she was very engaging and she had a really great message and a really great. So, you know, I think if she wants to do it, it's there.
Hey,
it's there for her. So,
if open invite to the mayor, if you ever wants to come on Flowing,
come on Flowing with that.
You get your voice out there to the rest of the state.
I don't even know.
We're huge in California.
I don't even know what that would be
mayor.
Like. I don't think it wouldn't.
You couldn't have it.
I could not handle
it. You could handle it.
I don't think I could handle it.
Yes,
look,
you could. You're a professional journalist.
Let me explain this. So I was at the, a couple of years ago, the Friends of the Library annual meeting, and the mayor was the speaker.
Talked to Bill Cosby.
Hold on. Let me tell you this story. So we're in the hometown buffet. This is where the thing is happening, and I'm walking to go get like my drink or whatever I'm getting, and the mayor's coming in to go give her speech, and she says, "Hey, Josh." And I was like, oh my God,
what?
The mayor knows my name.
What?
I was so embarrassed. I was like, I can't believe that this
Were you able to say anything back?
This is awesome. I said like hello or whatever. I don't know.
Whatever.
And then she walks away and I was like, oh my God. The mayor knows my name. That was like the best moment.
How did she know your name?
We run in similar circles.
Did she run the beat?
In similar circles. I think probably through Creative Fresno.
Oh, okay.
You know, she's...
You've been on the board of Creative Fresno for 6 years?
And she knows, you know, is friends and knows a lot of those people. And, you know, we've been out at events and I have actually talked to her before for stories that I've done, journalism kind of thing. So,
she remembers your name.
So, it was really, I mean, I can't
I've
get Kopi to remember my
got,
name.
Yeah,
so.
Kopi can't. Oh, Kopi's got a lot of shit going on. Way more stuff than the mayor.
The mayor, I guess,
come on.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real. But
anyway.
I've never got to meet the mayor.
Hopefully, she'll be listening to this and call and be like, hey, I want to go on your show.
Anytime, Ash.
So the mayor, is
my mother-in-law goes to your church. Come on.
There you go. That's your in.
Yeah, that's my in.
So, the mayor's running for state office, and we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah.
What else? Mike?
How about, let's go to the band of the episode right now.
Oh, this will be great.
Well.
It's not I guess it is a band. It's a guy.
A guy of the episode that has.
An artist.
Yeah, artists under him.
So this is, should we make
Time Records.
Time Records, we'll call it.
Record company in Fresno?
A local record company. And doing it kind of big. They're putting out releases.
Time Records.
And
it
everything.
Sounds like something I used to get in the 70s you buy on the commercials.
Yeah. So the first time I got a call from them, they wanted, they have their artist, he has a single out. They wanted to talk a little bit about it. So they called me at my job. This is blah, blah, blah from Time Records. And it took me a second to be like, Time, what the heck? That sounds so like, huh? And then they were explaining the local, and I was like, oh, okay. So I went out and meet them. Anyway, they have four artists signed already that they're kind of moving stuff through. And the main guy that they have going out right now is The Kid Ryan.
The Kid Ryan.
The Kid Ryan. I think his name's Ryan Garcia or something, but The Kid Ryan. You want to play a little? We'll play a clip.
Kid Ryan is the artist?
That's the artist. Play the clip. The ratio is like 100 to 1. And all these women only came to have fun.
Hello, girl. Well, I never met you before, but I like the way you get into it. What you sippin', little mama? Let me get it for you. Got a whole lot of time for my team in it. Shawty, what I think I need to put some crease in it. Can you handle it? Can you get it in? Shake it up, dice, baby, like you finna win. I'm on a road, so naughty. Girl, I love the face in your body. Love the way you dress. Love the way you move. Love the way you get it, how you get it, girl. Oh, I said I'm on a road, so naughty. Girl, I love the face in your body. Love the way you dress. Love the way you move. Love the way you get it, how you get it, girl. Oh, the ratio is like 100 to 1.
So that is getting some love on radio stations. I'm not sure if it's getting played here, but
it's getting love other radio stations, right. But not local.
Well, and I think that's their. They're not. From what I can gather, I don't think they're not looking at this as like a Fresno specific thing. Like they're in Fresno, but I don't think they're looking at it like we're gonna sell to Fresno. They'll definitely do like events and things here and releases, but I mean, I think they're looking to put these guys on the state, regional and national market and kind of get them out there, but. Seems legit. They have a studio on Shaw Avenue, a recording studio, and their office is there. And they have the guys coming in, and the product they're putting out seems pretty good. So it'll be interesting to see. I've always thought that that's the one component. There are a couple components that are missing in the local scene. One of them is a record label, and the other is like management companies, someone who can a lot of the local artists are just thrown out on their own. You have to kind of work it,
right?
So you have the bands who are their own themselves. Booking agents and their own record labels and their own everything. And I think we'll see a little jump if we can get a couple of record labels, a couple of management agencies like starting up and really pushing their artists out other places. So I'm excited about it. I mean, I think we'll see what happens with it, but they seem to be doing pretty well or have a good idea about things. I mean, when looking at it, I don't really know any of these people. They have an alternative band, and I haven't heard much about them, but that doesn't mean that they're not playing places, and I'm just not seeing them. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. With all
anything
this,
but, that gets the Fresno music thing,
but yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that's needed, and if they have like the money and the inclination to do it, I'm all for that. I'll support it. So, The Kid Ryan, and you can find him all over iTunes.
Look on our show notes.
Facebook. Yeah.
On our Podbean page. FlowingWithFamous.podbean.com.
There it is.
Rogue Festival. Something else we missed. Ooh. We're a little Rogue Festival. Yeah. Did you check out? What did you see?
Well, normally do like a Rogue Fest preview?
No, really.
It's not like a huge thing for us.
We do for Fuse Fest, but we don't stop and do it for a Rogue. We should be.
Yeah.
We kind of kicked the bucket on that one this year.
But. Well, so the Rogue Fest, for those listening who don't know.
Look for us in 2015. Yeah, yeah. We're going to have a huge Rogue preview.
So for those who don't know about the Rogue Festival, it's a fringe festival. It's a performing arts festival. So like theater, dance, vaudeville type of stuff. Anything, almost. A little bit of art. So it's a performing arts festival. It's a fringe festival, which means like it's sort of it's non-juried. It's not really curated. There's no one telling an artist that they're not good enough to be in it. It's sort of open to everyone, and you pay your application fee and you get booked at the venue and you kind of do it. All the money from the venues goes back to the artist, right? So they have one-on-one relationship with the audience, right? It's like your money's going directly to that guy. And so if he doesn't promote his show and no one shows up, he's not getting paid. Or if his show sucks, he's not getting, that kind of thing. It's been going, this is the 13th year, I think.
Yeah.
So it's been going a real long time. And it's become popular with these out-of-town performers who do, there's like a fringe festival circuit.
Yeah.
And they just do the whole, and so they'll play like 5 or 6 fringe festivals in the year. And they love Fresno because it's cheap to get in, comparatively. And then usually there's a good support group here, so they can find housing while they're in town. They have all their friends, etc. Whatever. Okay. So, I saw a couple shows. I didn't see as many shows as I would have liked to, and I never really do. But I saw a couple shows. I saw Flying Dreams, which is like this weird vaudeville storytelling thing.
Uh-huh. Was it was a really local good person?
No, he's from San Francisco.
Okay.
Or the Bay Area. He's a juggler.
Oh.
The juggling parts were awesome. Really good. He ties it in with a story, and he's telling the story about him and his buddy Andrew, who is another touring or a street performer. And the story is okay. I mean, it was like I saw where he was going with it. I don't think that the setup was enough to like get the emotional like impact at the end of the show that he wanted. But the juggling was great, and like he did a couple of tricks where I found myself at one point I was like applauding and cheering for, and I didn't want like I wasn't like trying. I didn't like oh that's really, but just out of nowhere I found that I was like what am I doing? Yeah. I'm applauding. This must be awesome. So there were some really cool sights for that one. The other one I saw was Nikki Watts' Separation. So this is she's a performance artist. She actually was in town last year. She did this thing where she had a plexiglass box on her head for like, do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
So she did the show and I loved it. Some other people walked out, but I loved it. So she did the show. There's two people standing in the middle of Spectrum Gallery. They're holding a plexiglass, pane of plexiglass.
Uh-huh.
She's sitting behind the plexiglass. And then that's it for like,
what?
I mean, she moves around and stuff, but essentially, there's some music, and I think it was part of The Wall, Pink Floyd's The Wall.
Okay.
So Pink Floyd's The Wall is playing.
So that was lost on you probably then, maybe.
I mean, like
that. Right, that reference or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I knew because, they played the All in All with just another. So there were a few songs. Like, I recognize the songs, but I'm not like the definitive Pink Floyd fan. So they're playing that. She's playing that. And she's singing along at some points. And, like, she sort of, like, bangs on the wall. And, and it's just two people holding it, right? So it's not like,
and, you know, you could get out,
right,
lady.
Right. And she could just walk around.
Lady, just walk around it.
Walk around, right? And so she's there. And then there's a chair, and like she's hiding behind the chair at one point. And then she's a lot of it was just her like sitting in the chair, just sort of like looking uncomfortable. And then after the show, so at a certain point, like the show is done, and the people that were holding the plexiglass, they leave. You know, they take a bow and then they walk out and they take the plexiglass. And then she comes around and shakes everyone's hand, like everyone in the audience. Uh-huh. And there were probably like 15, 20, like shakes their hand, you know, and then goes back and then the show's done. So it was like, I don't know. I mean, in my review of the show, I said like, okay, if the plexiglass thing is there is not there, there's uh-huh. no show. Or if you, like as the audience member, decide like, there that the plexiglass is it's stupid, yeah. then there's no show.
Yeah. You just gotta buy into
it. You have to buy into the idea that like
she's in a box.
Right. Or whatever it is. So like you have to really it's one of those things that like you have to be in a certain mindset
yeah.
to enjoy. I was in that
high.
Mindset.
You're trying to say
I was in that mind. Well, yeah. No, I wasn't high that night, but I was in a mindset where I was open to what she was doing and I found it very I found it entertaining. It was like 35 minutes and it didn't – there wasn't any point where I felt like, oh, God, what is she doing? I was sort of engaged the whole time. Everyone was like – the way that it was set up, like you couldn't get a really good view unless you were right in the front.
Okay.
Or like in parts of – so everyone was like craning their necks to see what was happening, but there wasn't anything happening. I mean, she was really just sitting there, like kind of like playing with her dress and stuff. And you're just like, what is happening? I mean, this is like what? And for me, that was like so much fun to watch, just to watch, to be part of that experience of like, you know, some people being way into it, you know, like the one person in front just watching like intently, like, oh my God. And then the other people who like
this is amazing.
At some point just couldn't handle it anymore and got up and left. And then there was a guy that was like sort of watching the door on the other side and he was just like getting down to the music, you know, like not really care. So it was great. I don't know. To me, that's like a great.
That's the rogue.
It's a great rogue show and it was $5. It was sort of perfect. On a larger scale, and this didn't happen to me, but you know, the Beehive, we sent 6 people out to see shows and to review, and some of the reviews we got back weren't so great. You know, I think there were several of us, and other people probably felt the same way, who thought that there were a lot of $10 shows this year,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of $10 shows that probably shouldn't have been $10. You know. And I think that the performers, the Rogue was originally set up in this way where they like purposefully kept the ticket prices low because the idea was like as an audience member, you were going to see something, you were going to take a chance on something. And maybe it was great and maybe it was crappy, but you were going to take a chance on it. And so if it was $3 or $5 or $7 mm-hmm. it was easy enough to take a chance. You could see 5 or 6 shows, and it would cost you however much money, and it wasn't a big deal. Some of them would be great. Some of them would be kind of crappy. Some of them would be, you know, really, really crappy, but it was okay. But now, I think you got all these out-of-towners coming in, and they're good. And so they can charge $10, and they'll get people to right. see them for $10 because they're good.
Yeah, they're pros at it.
They're pros, and they're doing material that's been tested and, right. and that they've, you know, whatever. Well, what you're getting now is some of these people are coming in with brand new shows that they're testing for the first time here at the Rogue. You're getting local people who are doing shows, and maybe they're not quite up to snuff, right?
I mean, yeah.
And they're charging $10 too because they think, well, the other people are charging $10, I might as well. And some, you know, some people in the audience didn't think that it was worth it, you know. That if they had charged $3, they would have had a different experience had right. the show been $3 or $5.
Shouldn't be charging $10 for something that's not tested.
Yeah, and that's part of fringe festivals and part of the Rogue. Definitely is like they want stuff that's kind of untested. It should be for the artist an opportunity to try new things, you know, for a cheap price. So I have a new play that, like, I don't think is ready to go. I'm not ready to go on tour with it. I'm not really to, like, ready to put it out there, but I still want to, like, try it out and see what an audience thinks. I can go to the Rogue and pay a minimal price and get audience reaction, find out what works, what doesn't work, whatever. But if I charge $10 for that, you know.
Yeah.
So
you're going to piss people off. Right. Like, I paid $10 for this. What the fuck?
And I haven't really seen from what I hear, I think the numbers this year were as good as they've ever been in terms of people out. And they had a lot of good sellout shows. So, I mean, it could just be that us at the Beehive are a little jaded by things or something. I'm not quite sure. But
I'm sure that's it.
Yeah. So there it is, Rogue Festival.
Rogue Festival. All right, before we go.
Yeah.
Keyboarders.
Skateboarders. More downtown news.
More downtown. Back
that's
to
all
downtown.
We talk about.
We call them full circle.
Yeah. Skateboarders.
Leaving for
executive,
Tempe.
Executive director of the Downtown Fresno Partnership, which is essentially the PBID for the Downtown Triangle Partner. It's
basically, what is the Downtown
District.
Partnership exactly, roughly?
It's just a group of businesses that all pay in to this organization that then works to improve all of downtown. So they do things like, one of the things they do I think is really cool is on their website, they have a listing of all of the downtown properties that are available commercial lease wise. So if I'm a business and I want to rent a space downtown, I can go to the Downtown Fresno Partnership website.
I already know what it is.
Yeah, and I can look and it'll say, you know, this building has this many square feet for this amount of money. Here's the contact, you know. So they do that kind of stuff where they put property owners in touch with business owners. They also help plan events. I mean, they were instrumental in the catacomb party. They also do the Yellow Umbrella tours. So they take visitors around and tell them about downtown businesses. Oh, okay. They have downtown ambassadors. So they have these people who they're paying. They're not actually volunteers. They're paying people to be downtown. And as you're walking downtown, if you need directions, they can give you directions. If you have a question like, where's the best place to get blank food, whatever, these people will help you. So they, I mean, it's sort of a, it's a big umbrella, I think, of what they do. But really, the idea is just to improve the perception and whatever of downtown. So,
and so Kate Borders, she's leaving to Tempe for essentially
Tempe
the same job
to get
in Tempe.
The same job, yeah.
So should I? I'm like a little offended by it. Should I be offended or not? Should not be offended.
I don't know. It's hard
to
say.
Is she from Fresno or
no?
She just came here and took the job. And
I think so. I think
I'm
so.
Out.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm not as offended.
And I kind of think that's just how it is with these jobs. I mean, I kind of think that's what you do if you're in these. You come to a place and you sort of build it up as much as you can, and you move on to the next place.
Yeah.
You build it up as much as you can, and you move on, you know. And, I mean, I think she did a really good job. She was definitely one of those people who had, like, a dynamic personality, and I think she was someone who had a lot of ideas and wasn't afraid to try things and kind of go out on the ledge, literally, for the
over-the-edge
thing that they were making, raising money for
the ice rink.
The ice rink downtown. And I think that was something that, you know, was her idea or something she probably brought for us. So, I mean, I definitely think she did a lot. She did a really, I mean, I think the what used to be the DTA, right, the Downtown Association, when it became the Downtown Fresno Partnership or the PBID took over, they needed someone like that because I think the DTA had just kind of floundered around for a while and didn't really have anyone at the helm. And that's what you need. You need someone at the helm who can really, like, have a vision for what needs to be done and move forward with it. So Craig Charton of Peeves and other stuff, he used to be of the city, is going to be taking over until they can find
a former downtown czar.
The downtown czar will now be heading the Downtown Fresno Partnership. I think it's a great fit. You know, I mean, I know obviously he has Peeves going on, and so I would think that he would probably want to.
He's got our boy Matt managing down there. He's
okay.
All right.
There you go. So From the Perfect Poor podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of our own down there
one
at Peeps.
One of Dorktown Network's own.
But I, you know, wish her well, I say.
Yeah, right, whatever.
Hopefully we can get
someone else. I don't care now.
Yeah, right. But I, no, I mean, I definitely.
It's nothing to do with Tempe. It's Arizona State. I've been where she's talking about, like downtown Tempe.
Yeah, yeah. Crap.
It's Arizona State kids. Oh, yeah. It's already nice. That's what I'm saying. There's nothing to do.
Well,
nothing to do.
Right. She it's not like Fresno.
That's why she's going. She's just going to hang out and get paid.
It's like, I'm going to be lazy. I had enough work.
Yep.
I've been crapped on enough here in Fresno. No, but I think she did a great job, and I think she really was like one of the reasons that we have been able to get as much as we have in downtown, the ice rink, a lot of the catacomb party, I think. A lot of it was just she was pushing it. So, and hopefully that will continue.
Is that it? It's time to
Hold on. All right, that's about right. I was looking at my time. It feels like this is a short one.
Nearing the hour mark, dude.
But I looking at my watch.
Yeah.
We're doing pretty good. Plug it up.
Well, I know. Yeah. I got invited to a Facebook event.
No way.
At CYC.
CYC.
From the Fletchers.
Uh-huh.
I'm assuming it'll go back to playing to CYC
accurate.
Soon.
We're not acting.
Well, then what? They're just going to CYC as fans?
We set up a show for a band.
Oh.
There was a band coming through. They needed a show. We've been doing that a lot lately. It's weird. So my band, it'll go back.
Oh, now you're in the booking business.
I guess so. No, I think we... So this is
you're
what...
In a helping business.
This is what happens. If you're in a band and you are good, then someone from out of town... Find you, and they go, oh, this band's playing around a lot. Hey, can you get us a show? And then you're nice, and you say, yeah, I can totally get you. Okay. And you get them a show, and it doesn't suck, and everyone has a fun time. So then they tell their friends, and their friends tell their friends,
and now...
their friends tell their friends. And then you get all these. So we actually played two shows this week. Where it was just out of town bands coming through, and they're like, hey, can you help us set up a show? So we did, and that was at Tokyo. And the other was, hey, we're coming through, do you want to play the show and help us promote whatever? So we did. So we're getting a lot of that kind of stuff coming up. But I think the next big thing for us, we're going to be playing, I want to say it's April 30th at the at Strummer's, and it's going to be for Barcade. They have that Wednesday night.
Okay.
It's a bar arcade thing that Aesop puts on. And so I think we're going to be playing that, and it's on a Wednesday. That should be real fun. And then today, actually, not too long ago, we were asked to play with the Angry Samoans. You know that band? They're a punk band from back in the day. Fairly a big deal if you're into that kind of stuff. Yeah. They're a hardcore band. Punk scene. One of those, like, SoCal hardcore bands from the early 80s.
Yeah.
So they're like, you know, old school.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be at Fulton 55 in May, and I think that'll be a pretty cool show. So, and then other than that, I think, you know, we have our normal stuff. If you want to find us, it'll grow back on Facebook and the like. So, yeah.
And then you're professional.
And then my job, I'm there at the Fresno Bee, and you can read me every week in the 7 magazine that comes out on Fridays. I'm also online at thefresnobeehive.com. I've been doing a lot of blogging. I've been putting together videos. Have you been?
Oh.
Yeah. I'm a videographer
now. Look at you.
iPhone. I'm an iPhone videographer.
Gotta use that company phone.
That's what I have. I have an iPhone. I was amazed by the things that you can do with an iPhone, with iMovie and an iPhone. Uh-huh. Like, people always talk about, like, it's changed. Yes. Yes. I, a guy who knows absolutely nothing. Right. Like, I'm not a tech. I can figure things out just because that's how I am. But no technical savvy. I put together some videos. I mean, they're not great, and I'm sure that anyone with video, like, actual video, not, like, a degree or whatever, could pick them apart and then laugh, and they would probably laugh at me, like, ha. But for what they are, I think they're really great, and there it is. So
look for him. FresnoBeehive.com.
FresnoBeehive.com.
Joshua T.
You're in
green? Are you in green? What color are you on the beehive?
I am orange.
Orange. Yeah. That feels right. Orange.
So there you go. Check it out.
And, Mike, coming. Fuse Fest date. Fuse save the Fest date announcement coming.
This is coming up.
Should we say it now? No.
No, I think we'll hold on.
Wait. Look for FuseFest.com coming soon.
And
FuseFest.com. You're going to get the date.
You'll get the date. And it's going to be exciting. There's some surprises, I think, this year.
Really?
I think so. I think there'll be some things that
No, there's always a surprise.
Well, that'll be a little like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. You know? I think so.
And then the normal stuff.
Yeah.
1,000 bands and all.
You're going to have fun.
So.
40 bands. Good stages.
79 bands.
I don't think we're going to have like a crappy stage this year.
Oh. Yeah.
Usually we have like one stage where it's just like, here, plug in, play.
Right.
I don't think we're going to do that this year.
Yeah, so I think that's it for me. Mike, what do you got to plug?
Of course, always, the Dorktown Network of Podcasts, including Flowing with Famous.
Flowing with Famous.
Dorktown Podcast. And the Perfect Pour.
Can we talk about
Beer Podcast?
Dorktown for a second. Strange Mind.
Yeah, we had Strange Mind on.
That was really cool.
Did you listen to it?
I listened to it, yeah.
And you don't usually don't listen.
I don't listen
and
to
that
it.
One got you to listen.
I had to.
Turned out all right.
Yeah. And they were
Were like, I don't know how excited they were or not. I couldn't gauge because they were so tired.
Right, yeah.
And
those are some hardworking dudes.
So it was like hard to tell. Like, I couldn't tell if they were just tired or they're just like, these guys are kind of kooky. There's like, there was a lot of penis talk, which is weird. It wasn't even, it was just like, why is this happening? And they were just kind of like, they're just nice guys. And they're just kind of like,
right.
Okay.
So this is the thing, right? This is what
what did we get ourselves into?
Right, this is what, even if they were like weirded out, you would never know because they're just they're such nice guys.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, this is perfectly, we'll deal with this.
Yeah.
Like
they could deal, I could tell they could deal with anything.
Oh yeah.
But like, they were just so mellow, just like, are we offending them or are they just cool? I don't know.
I think they're just cool and that's why they are the best band in Fresno, you know?
It was just so cool because they played live for us just with their acoustic guitar. They didn't they don't even normally do that. They just kind of winged it because you know they could do that.
Right.
And
that's the thing, they can do anything.
Because like there was a couple times where they were kind of laughing because they'd never tried it. They're just like laughing. You couldn't hear it necessarily on the podcast, but because they knew they were just like, they're just kind of like making it up a little bit.
Right.
And that was awesome to have them just playing in front of us.
So there you go. Strange Mind fans should look for that.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's content they're not going to find anywhere else.
No.
Yeah.
Look for that in Dorktown.
And then Perfect Pour.
DorktownPodcast.com. Yeah, and Perfect Pour.
Still doing
weekly.
We're all right.
Keeping
how's that
consistent
going?
Weekly. Good.
Yeah.
I haven't really looked at the numbers, whether they're bumped up or not.
How is your liver doing?
About it.
It's
fine.
Oh, it's fine?
Yeah. I still...
Because you share,
yeah,
right?
You do. You think we go through a lot of beer, but you're sharing a 122-ounce beer between four guys, usually.
Right. So here's the thing. I see the pictures
really
all the time.
Isn't that bad, yeah.
Of
as
you're drinking. And I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're right. It's like maybe you get one full bottle between you.
Right. Yeah. It's some episodes are different than others, but
well, we're happy to have it.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think it's good.
So look for us on Twitter.
All right, look for us on Twitter.
Flowing with Pod
Flowing with
on
Pod
Twitter. You
on
can email
Twitter.
Me, thefresnan@gmail.com.
You can find us on iTunes.
iTunes, you can give us a review on iTunes.
Right, if you like
us.
Stitcher. And for instance, you're on Facebook, and you wrote a glowing review, you could also do that on iTunes.
Just tell your Fresno friends. Fresno has its own podcast. It's cool.
It's all about Fresno.
Yep. And vice versa sometimes, apparently.
Yeah. And my dad. Anyway, that's it for us. We will leave you. Thank you for listening. We'll be back in a couple weeks, or if not, the week after that. Or if not, you know, at some point.
Yell at us, if not.
And... That's my favorite part of the whole podcast.
You remember when Fresno Famous branched out to Modesto? Remember when there was Modesto Famous?
Yes.
For a little bit there?
Yes. Man.
Back in the day.
You know what? I had not even thought about that till you mentioned it. And it just sort of disappeared.
And it looked like, oh, it's going to start branching out everywhere. And
it didn't.